much, Jordan. You know, we've been doing our study through the eternal realities. For those of you that weren't here Sunday, Glenda was not here. That's why the piano's out front, all right? We just got lazy and didn't want to move it back tonight. But anyway, she'll be back Sunday, so thank God for that, all right? Now, we've been looking at some things that are eternal. Remember the four things that you need to remember about eternal realities. Number one, you were made for a relationship. You were made to love and be loved by God. Number two, you were made to last forever, all right? Your soul will last forever. Number three, there are two eternally places that you will spend out your eternity. One is heaven, the second is hell, all right? Number four is this truth. This is eternal reality. You get to choose which one you go to. You get that choice. It is not someone else's decision. It's not based on what somebody else does. As a matter of fact, not based on what you do. It's based on what Jesus has done. You get to choose where you go. Now, we are in like week five, week six of this. So if you've missed the first weeks, go back and review those. We asked four questions about hell. What is hell like? What happens there? What's going to be there? We've answered those questions already. We started last week by answering two questions of what heaven is. And we answered the purpose of heaven. What is the purpose? You know, God rules and reigns, you know. And go back and review that on the CDs as well. Matter of fact, we're putting together a podcast as a church. We're changing the way that our website functions. We've had some problems with people being able to play sermons on our phones, and we've had a problem uploading them. So in the next week or so, you'll see an update to our website on the Listen and Learn page, and it'll actually give you a podcast that'll work with you can download an app and use it on your iPhone or your Android device, or you can listen to it on a tablet, different things like that. So we'll give you more information on that. Tanya's been working hard on it, so we're excited. But what I'm saying is go back and review those so that we don't have to waste the time going back and review tonight. Tonight we're going to pick up with the third question about heaven, okay? There's five we're going to deal with, but we're in the third one. I want you to continue praying. You know, we've seen, like I've said, well over 20 people saved in the past 3 weeks on Wednesday nights, and we're just excited about that, excited to see what God's going to do through it. But in Job chapter number 11, Job brings up a very good question, all right? I tell people all the time, you need to understand this. In life, it is not about knowing all the answers. Some people feel like they have to know the answer to everything to be successful. No, in life, it's knowing the right questions, when to ask them, who to ask, and to seek those answers. When you feel like you know all the answers, you've gone as far as you're going in life. All right, your relationship has gone as far as it's going to go when you feel like you know how to do it. But when you're willing to learn, it's going to go further. You have an opportunity to go further. It has an opportunity to go further. You've got to always be in that mindset of I want to know. And we've told people, why is it we're spending time on eternal realities? Because it's this. All this life that we put so much stock in is nothing compared to eternity. It's a mere preview, okay? It's a perverted preview of what God intended for us to be. And as a result, you must die in this life. Sin has to die. There is no way for you to go on for eternity in sin. You cannot live forever on this earth. You say, that's elementary, right? We know we're going to die. If God doesn't come back, we're going to die. That's easy to say. But the truth is a lot of people spend all their worry, all their energy, all their emotion, all their time in what's going to happen in the next 80 years of their life. The average person lives to be about 80. You've got 80 years on earth. You've got an infinity of time after this is over. So what should matter most? What's going to happen in eternity? You say, well, how's that get me through today? Well, simply this. We said last week, heaven should not be a place that you're waiting to go to. Is it a literal place? Yes. But it should not be a place that you're waiting to experience the glory of God. You're waiting to experience the power of God. You're waiting to experience the peace that comes from being in heaven. The joy, the help, the strength. No, you as a child of God should be experiencing the power of God, the resources of heaven right now in your life. So it's important to know what heaven has to offer, because the truth is this. All of that is only offered because heaven is where God lives and reigns. But the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. It says, hey, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. How many of you have heard those verses before? And the truth is what the Bible's telling you is, listen, God lives and rules in heaven, but the power of God lives in you through Christ and the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not going to get into the theology of the Trinity, but they are three different Godheads in one. They all serve a function. They all serve a purpose. But they are all God. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. And God the Father is God. Now, how many of you say, how does that even work? Anybody think about that? How is there one God, but yet there's three of them? How many of you, that kind of makes you a little confused? All right, the truth is, as you look, God the Father is the one, His will is what's done. Even Jesus did the Father's will while on earth. All right? Jesus is the God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Lord of your life. It's through Him and Him only that you can go to heaven one day. The Holy Spirit is what talks to you on a daily basis. How do I know if I'm saved? Can I ask you this? Test yourself. Do you hear the Holy Spirit? You're saying, well, Brother Josh, I don't know what He sounds like. Okay, you need to try to say, why am I not hearing the voice of God? Because those that are in Christ do hear His voice. Now, for those of you that just got scared to death because you're like, oh my goodness, I never hear His voice. It's not audible. All right, but let me give you some illustrations of what that voice can be like. That voice can be like this. No, you should not have said that. No, you should not go there. No, do not do that. How many of you in your mind have set out to accomplish a task or about to say something or about to do something, and in your heart and mind, you hear this voice, not literally out loud, but you hear something. Something's grabbing you and saying, don't do it. Anybody ever had that? All right, listen, voice of God right there. You say, okay, well, that's simple. I hear the voice of God all the time. Great. The truth is, you need to hear that voice more than hear your own. You know, the two people that are talking to you the most in your life are God and you. That's it. The rest is noise. I mean, how many conversations do you have going on in your head at one single time? How many of you go through a day and you realize that, you know, while you're doing one thing, you're figuring out another? Anybody ever have those moments, you know? If you're like me, you shut down when you're trying to do that. You got to focus on what you're doing. But I've seen people that can multitask, and I'm just looking at them, man, but you know what? The truth is, it's not what other people say to you that defines you. It's what you say to yourself. It's not the voices outside of you. It's what you're hearing in your conscience on a daily basis. And if you're only listening to your voice, you're going to be very discouraged. But if you're listening to God's voice more than yours, if God's voice inspires your voice, let's take it into a literal sense. When God's thoughts inspire your thoughts, then God's voice inspires your voice. When God's thoughts inspire your thoughts, when you're thinking on Him, when your mind, the Bible says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. When you're doing that and you're saying, okay, I'm living on this world, but I'm living as if I don't belong here. This isn't home. I belong in heaven. I belong with God. Let's review. Who was hell created for? Give me a teenager. Who was hell created for? Somebody say it. Jordan. The devil and his legions. We prove that through Scripture. What does the Bible say that heaven was created for? We talked about this last year, huh? God's people, us. You and me. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. All right, now understand this. You were designed with a GPS, I guess you could say, and the end destination was heaven. Now, you can be stubborn and take your own routes, and guaranteed you're going your own way and trying to get to heaven, you'll never make it. You've got to go God's way, and that's through Jesus. Now, understand. When we get to the question of what is heaven like, Job says it this way, and this describes a lot of the things of God. Read it with me. Job chapter 11, let's start verse number 7. Job 11, 7, he's talking and he's not in a good place of life right now. All right, you read Job 11, what we're about to read, you're going to think, oh, he was genius. No, he's questioning God. But here's what he says. Can you solve the mysteries of God? He's like, God is a mystery. Ever felt like that in your life? Ever felt like the will of God is a mystery? You ever felt like, God, I just want to see you give me a neon sign, show me something? You know, Job's saying, can you solve the mystery of God? Hey, can you discover everything about the Almighty? Verse number 8 kind of brings it into our focus. It says, such knowledge is higher than the heavens. And who are you? It is deeper than the underworld. And what do you know? I mean, can you imagine? This is almost like a Job pulling his hair out moment. He's like, can you understand God? He's asking, because I need to understand Him. Do you know what God's always doing? Do you know the methods of God? Or how many of you are just like me, and a lot of times you find yourself asking, why in the world is He letting that happen? Have you ever had that? You know, I love it, and I was sharing with Pete Higgs, one of the guys who goes to our church, runs a rehab. He was talking to me, and I was sharing with him. He was like, you know, the only reason I started this is because I kept begging God to start one, and then I heard God say, why don't you do it? And that Matthew West song, I love it. Have you heard it? You know, he says, you know, I woke up this morning, and I was looking around, and all the poverty, and all the people living in terrible conditions, and I looked at and shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? You ever had those moments? You're like, God, why? Why don't you fix this? God, why don't you solve this? God, why don't you bail me out? God, why don't you let them love me? Make them love me. Make them care. Give me that job. Give me that house. Give me that car. God, make it happen. And then God says, okay, no, you make it happen based on how you believe and what you're believing I can do. And the truth is you need to understand that God will not do one thing in your life that you're not willing to let him do. God will not force himself on you. He will not force his plan on you. He will not take you to heaven until you're willing to allow him to save you. You understand? And so he says, who knows these things? And we tell our class on Monday night, stop asking why. It doesn't mean that why is a bad question. How many of you have ever heard, do not ever question God? You ever heard that preached? That is false. Yes. That is not the truth. God wants you to bring your questions to him. God wants you to bring your grief to him. He wants you to bring your hurts. And we tell him, stop asking why. Here's why. Not because it's a bad question. It's just a question that gives you no comfort, even if you get the answer. See, you don't need explanations to why things are happening in your life. You need God. You need a Savior. You need encouragement. You need strength. You need love. You need to know what God is telling you to do. You don't need to know why it's happened. You need to know what God is wanting to happen in your life. Because there's several answers of why. Could be you are messed up. Could be you are messing up. Could be somebody else has messed up. Or somebody else has messed up. But the truth is this, we live in a broken world. And that is why most things happen. But God wants great things to happen in your life. Not just when you get to heaven, but right now where you are. He wants you to find the love of your life. He wants you to live within your dream. He wants you to see things happening in your life. I was talking to Willie, the owner of Willie's, you know, and now he owns the cafe. Comes here a couple times, for those of you that know him. And he was telling me, you know, in the past year, he surrendered all his finances. God's helped him pay off $450,000 worth of debt. And he says, I've learned to trust God for my needs. And you know what I found? You might want to write this down. It's my life. It might not be yours. But I have found that when I seek my wants, and I chase my wants in life, most times my wants end up standing in the way of me reaching my needs. I want this car, so I buy it. And then when I need a house, I can't get it because my income to debt ratio is wrong. You ever had those things happen? You know, I want this to happen in my life, but I can't let it happen. You know, I need this to happen, but I can't do it because, you know what? I can't buy my groceries because I bought the big screen TV. I can't pay my rent because, you know, I went out to eat every week, every night. And you say, what happened? You chased once. But the Bible says that God will supply your needs. And so my job is not to chase anything, but to say, God, I'm going to let you be God. I'm going to let you rule on earth. Isn't that how Jesus prayed? Let your will be done on earth as it is done in, what's he say? Heaven. The reality of heaven is this. That you let God rule. So do you have to get to a physical place for that to happen? No. You should be letting God rule now. Let that mind be in you. And Job says, okay, I don't understand this. Verse 9, he says this. Then we'll move on. It is broader than the earth and wider than the sea. Don't try to figure everything about God out. You won't be able to. You'll stand still under a waterfall of information that drowns you. You need to just say, okay, God, this is what I know about you, so I'm going to trust you with that, and I'm going to act on it, and I'm going to live on it. This is what I know about faith, so I'm going to step out. This is what I know, so this is where I'm going to go. So let me describe this to you very quickly. Tonight, we'll break into two parts, okay? First, we're going to answer this question. Hey, what is heaven like? It's answered this way. It's a mystery. You know why it's a mystery? Because you and I live in a three-dimensional world. All right? How many of you have seen the 3D TVs or gone to a 3D movie? Anybody done that? It's kind of cool, is it not? If you don't have migraines. If you have migraines, stay away from it, all right? But the thing is, my wife, when Titanic came out in the theaters in 3D, she was like, we got to go. And I was like, yes, we do. We haven't seen it 100 times already, but we'll go again. You know? And it was my first 3D movie, and I remember sitting there and the stars started coming off the screen. And, you know, like everybody else, I'm like, I'm wanting to touch them, you know? It's cool. But we live in a 3D world. A 3D world is simply this, and let me put it in a spiritual sense. There's me, there's you. There's what I see in me, and there's what I see in you, and there's nothing more I can see. The Bible says man looks on an outward appearance, God sees a heart. God sees a four-dimensional world. God goes into the emotions, into the thoughts, into the love, into the heart that's there, where we cannot. All I can see is what I'm looking at right now. Can I tell you, freeze, nobody move, all right? Breathe, but don't move. Pause in your position. I'm literally, like we're saying, Simon says, stop where you're at. All right, now, without moving your body, I want you to look around and don't change your facial expressions, okay? So if you got the smirk, hold it. If you got the smile, you're stuck, all right? I might do that to you just so your muscles get a workout, all right, in your face, just so they remember how to go back up, all right? But look around. Just scan with your eyes. Look at people's body language. Look at how they're sitting. All right, when I look, I can see a lot of different things, can't you? I look at some. I look at Steve and Danielle, and I'm like, ah, oh, they're in love. Anybody else see that? You know? They got the arm around each other. It's like, okay, this is a good day for their relationship. You know? And you're like, man, they got to be close. Because if they weren't in love, they wouldn't be sitting like that. How many of you agree? You can move now. Raise your hand. All right. Now, but I can look over here at David. Let's take him for an instance. And I look at him crossing his arms, okay? Now, he's smiling now because we're embarrassing him. But without that smile, how many of you would say, you know what? He could be upset. You see what I'm saying? He could be not interested. He could be in a different... You know why? Because you see 3D. You only see what is in front of you. You can't see beyond it. You can't see 10 years down the road. You can't see an hour in your life. You cannot see past my skin and my face and my outward appearance. You can't. But God can. And knowing that realizes this, wow, if he can see all those things, then do you believe that heaven is not going to be like what we see here? Now understand this. If you were in space today, would time still be the same? Would there be 24 hours in the day for you in space? How many of you say, yes, there would be? Yeah. You could take a clock up there, and there would be the same 24 hours that there are here. You know why? Because we live in a world that has 24 hours in a day. That's been ingrained in us since the very beginning, right? Now you say, where are you going? Stay with me. You measure time different in space than you do on Earth. You know why? Because when you're on Earth, you're on the ball that is revolving around the sun. And in 12 hours, 11 hours, it goes from night to day, day to night. It changes. How many of you understand? But when you're in space, you're not revolving around the sun. So in other words, instead of using daytime, nighttime, you can't. Because it's not daytime ever. Because it's constantly the same. How many of you understand that? You cannot base everything on what you see based on your dimensions. My Bible says that in heaven there is no night. That there is no light, because God is light. Jesus is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. So do you think we're going to be on a 24-hour time schedule when we're in heaven? No. It's going to be a different world. It's a mystery. Now, God has given us previews of things that we can understand. There's streets. There's water. There's trees. There's animals. You know, he describes the, you know, I don't know if Fido's there, okay? But I do know that there's lions and lambs, all right? I do know that. Now, do I think God's good enough to let your dog be there? Yeah. You know, heaven's a place of perfection. Can you and I understand that here? No. How many of you have ever been to Disney World? How many of you have not? All right. Can I tell you this? I love Disney World. I do. I enjoy it thoroughly. All right? But if I were to sit here and try to describe to you that have not been there what Disney World is like, I'm wasting my breath. It's a world of its own. I remember I told y'all Sunday that me and my wife and mother-in-law and Lincoln went to Dollywood on Saturday with 24,000 other people. And we only got to do three things in like 5 or 6 hours. All right? You were there. All right? All right, what ride did you ride? Okay, how long did it take you to get through line? An hour and 10 minutes. We're standing in line, and I told my wife, an hour and 10 minutes in line in Disney World is totally different than an hour and 10 minutes in line at Dollywood. She's like, what are you talking about? I said, because Disney World's lines are interactive. You know, you're like going through scenes, and you're going through movies, and you get to play and do things. You know? And she's looking at me like, what's that even matter? I was like, you know, it's just getting me through a hard time. That's what I told her. It's just getting me through this, knowing that there's a better place to stand in line than here. You know? And the thing is, though, I kept wasting my breath because she couldn't understand it. Same thing with heaven. God knew that if he started describing things that there to you and to myself, we couldn't understand it. Could you understand being perfect? Can you understand your kids being perfect? No. No, you would beg God for 1 hour with perfection in your home. But imagine an eternity with perfection. How many of you, that's just like overwhelming? I can't imagine everybody getting along. I can't imagine no CNN or Fox News. I can't imagine no riots, no murders. I can't. I can't. Everything I've ever known has been perverted, but heaven is not. You know, I look around and it's like, what is heaven like? I don't know. It's a mystery, but it is nothing like this place is. You say, well, there's comparatives, yes. But you know what? God cannot be seen on this earth, or there will be mass deaths by everyone who sees him, because our human bodies cannot contain it. Can you imagine looking at somebody that has that much power? They don't have to take a gun. They don't have to take a knife. You just look at them and you're gone. And yet, that's what illuminates heaven. Man, that seems pretty cool. It seems pretty awesome. Man, it makes me think, okay, if I'm not powerful enough to understand that on earth, how powerful am I going to be when I'm in heaven? What capabilities will you and I have when we're there? I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you what heaven is like. I'll tell you the resemblances that are there, but I can't even do it justice. I've never been there. I can only go based on what I've heard. Now, understand this. If there is a place that is that awesome, why are we not inviting other people to go to it? Why are we not spending our lives telling people, you gotta go with me? How many of you have ever been to a good restaurant and you went home and told all your friends, you gotta go try it? Or you've been to a good show and you go, you know what? You gotta go see Hatfields and McCoys. Or you gotta go see, you know, the country tonight. You gotta go. How many of you have ever done that? You know what happened? You got excited in a moment seeing what it was like. You didn't do anything. You didn't perform the show, but you didn't make the meal, but something in it excited you. Church, it is a sad day when we can get more excited about a steak or a hamburger than we can get excited about an eternity in a place like heaven. I can't tell you exactly what it's like, but I can tell you this. I want you to go with me. And that's the message we should be preaching, is there is a place you can go where you will escape these things. You will escape these hardships. You will escape these hurts. You will not be judged. You will not be cast out. You will not be an outcast. Your mailbox will not define you based on what neighborhood it's in. There is a place you can go where you will be loved just like everybody else is. Accepted just like everybody else is. As important as everybody else. To where every mistake you've ever made is forgotten. Now that's an awesome place. Because as much as I try, I can't even forget the mistakes I've made. And the truth is, man, the greatest on earth will share addresses with the drug addict or the alcoholic. Can I blow you more? The homosexual. You say, oh, come on. I used to, when I preached, say, you know what? Guess what? Because I was a Baptist minister, we're not going to be the only religion in heaven. Yeah, there's not a denomination there. It's not just going to be Baptist. And they're like, oh, well, they don't believe like us. Look, they wear pants, you don't. They wear their hair up, you don't. They cut their hair, you don't. None of that matters. What matters is Jesus Christ. That's what matters. Wouldn't it be nice that we don't have to have rehab centers and different things that we have to beg people to donate to? Wouldn't it be nice that we don't have to say and go on a week-to-week basis saying, God, I hope your people give so that we can meet the needs of the people around us? No, wouldn't it be nice to go to a place where your money really truly doesn't matter? To where you don't have to spend and you don't have to labor. You don't have to do those things to be able to have, because God, who supplies all needs, has made everything that needs to be there already be put into place. Now, here's the thing. Don't wait to get to heaven to let God supply all your needs, because He promises He'll do that here. Do you understand that you have to get a vision of heaven? Because that is where you were designed to go. Do not go to hell by default. Go to the place you were designed to be. And that, preach hell, yes. People need to know there's a hell. And can I strike this down? I've heard this said by many people right around this area that hell is here on earth. No, there's a literal hell. Well, heaven's here on earth. No, there's a literal heaven. You know, the truth is why would God let His Son die for people to live in a place that's heaven and hell? He would not do that. There's no point in letting somebody die for you to maintain a place that everybody else and the demons themselves will maintain. No, His Son died so that you wouldn't have to go there. So that you could go to the place that He's prepared. Now, understand this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, look at it real quick with me. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Chapter 2, I always do that. When I'm in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, I call it 2. Chapter 2, verse 9 says this. It's describing what you should think when it comes to what you're thinking about God and what He's doing. It says this. That is what the Scriptures mean when they say this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Take the best days you've ever lived. All right? Now, some of you, you could narrow that down to many days. Some of you, that goes back to one. Get that in your mind. The day you wish you could live forever. And understand what this verse just said. It does not even compare to what God has prepared for you. Now, if hell was not designed for us, it's a shame that we allow people to go there. Because we're too stubborn or too caught in our own ways or too selfish to tell them they don't have to go there. And if heaven is designed for us, then why should we worry about how much we can obtain while on this earth? Why should we let what's here, what we possess, define who we are? And that's why the Bible says, don't lay up your treasures on earth where moth and rust and thieves can break in to steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven where there cannot be rust and there will not be moth and there will not be thieves. Lay up things where it matters, not things that don't. And yeah, I was talking with Samuel before church, and last Wednesday night he wrote down a scripture and said, this is all I heard God say. And I said, then the next week you explore, why did the God give you that? And it was the verse where Job was saying, naked I came into the world, with nothing I came in, with nothing I'll go out. So I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm going to let God matter. You know, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon spends 6 chapters talking about what point is there in working your entire lives to have your barn houses full only for you to die and somebody else inherit it and enjoy all your labor for your hard work. All the fruit. You say, what are you saying? I'm not saying be ignorant and go out there and blow money and be out there and go live a careless lifestyle. But I am saying this. Quit freaking out so much about tomorrow. You might not even make it there. And live today. Tomorrow I'm going to take my kid and show him I love him. No, you make sure they know before they go to bed tonight. Well, I'm too busy. Yeah, that's exactly right. You are too busy. And most times when we're too busy, we're sidetracked by the wrong things. My kids, he needs to know Dad loves him before he goes to sleep tonight. Dad needs 5 minutes of playtime and eye-to-eye contact. 5 minutes of acting goofy. Because 17 months old, that's what he loves when I dance, because he knows I can't already. You know, that's what he needs. He doesn't need me to say, well, you know what? If I work 4 more hours of overtime, then I can buy this later. No, look, work the job you have, budget the money you have, and you'll find You'll find when you're living within your needs and you're living within your means that you will be able to get things later. You don't have to go out and work your life away if you work smart, spend smart, and you spend your time, energy, effort, and money smart. Isn't that what they always said? How many of you have heard it? Work smart, not hard. How many of you have heard that? Is that encouraging laziness? No, that's encouraging godliness. Work smart with the abilities God has given you. Stop trying to be something you were never created to be. Love the family you have and quit being jealous of the one across the road. Love what you have. Paul said, I have found whatever situation I'm in, I'm content. You know why? Because I've got all I need with Him. And He will make sure I get everything I need for today. And that's why Jesus said, when you're praying, ask God to give you today your daily bread. My daily bread, not my month long, not my week long. No, give me my allowance. Don't be the prodigal son. Give me my inheritance. No, you'll waste it. Give me today what I need to get through this day. The love I need, the time I need, the energy I need, the focus I need. And I don't just pray that in the morning. I pray that every single step I take throughout the day. God, is this where I'm supposed to be? How many of you have ever made a big time commitment, like where you're going to rent or where you're going to live, what house you're going to buy, what lease you're going to sign? How many of you have had to do that? All right. How many of you, there was that little voice inside of you that was terrified about making that commitment? And that voice might have sounded like this. What if this is not where I'm supposed to be? How many of you have ever felt that way? You know what? That is such a wise voice. You need to say, God, this is how I pray. We get opportunities in our lives all the time. Can I tell you one we had? In our neighborhood, and I've been talking with Betty, getting some advice. In our neighborhood, a house that's been foreclosed on for 5 years and set empty has come up for sale at $150,000 less than what it's valued. And I looked at my wife and I said, we can make some money. Our credit's there. The income to debt ratio's there. We could flip this thing. Now, you know why I think I was thinking that way? My mother-in-law has been in town for 2 weeks. She left Tuesday. All we watched was Home Garden Television, Flip or Flop, Property Brothers, all that. How many of you watch those shows? And so I'm looking at it. You know, I David and others, they know what they're doing. You know, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, we could move this wall. You know, we could tear this out. We could do, and you know, I'm thinking that I'm a genius. How many of you have ever, you watch TV and then, you know, you watch Superman and you can fly. All right? Now listen, the one thing I've always been accused of in my life is a dreamer and a visionary. All right? I am the kid that was convinced that like Care Bears he could fly. I jumped off the top bunk. I bit my tongue in half. That literally happened. All right? So the thing is when I get there and I'm watching this stuff, I'm like, $150,000, that can pay off most of my debt. Let's flip this thing. So I'm calling, I go in there, I get the realtor code, I figure out the key box number. I'm good at that. I don't know why. You know, I go in the house. I'm looking around. I'm like, it's awesome. Then I go back home and I said, Jordan, you can do one or two things. We can live there or sell it. Let's go look. You know, I'm building it up to her. And we go in, we start looking around. And you know what? I can ignore the fact that they've ripped out every shelf and that there's no shelves in the entire house. And that's going to cost a couple hundred dollars, maybe $1,000. And I can totally ignore that every wall in the entire house that's 3,400 square feet of finished work and 1,700 non-finished needs painted. I can ignore that that costs money and time and effort and energy because I see a dollar sign. But what I could not ignore is when my wife walked out and she said, you know what, I'm going to trust you. You've done well. You've proved yourself to me financially. My chest is swelling, and we get in the car, and I'm sitting there, and I'm about to back out, and she says, but what are you going to do about that? I said, what are you talking about? She said, that. I was like, that makes no sense. Tell me what that is. And she said, there's cracks walking down the brick. What do you think you're going to do about that? I was like, well, I didn't see the crack. Yeah, I didn't know the crack was there. And what's happened is, in the block, in the grout work, if you look at ours, it just starts walking down. And I've watched enough HGTV to know one or two things is going on. Either the foundation's crumbling underneath it, or the roof was too heavy, and it's pushing the wall out. And I immediately look at her and she goes, how much do you think that's going to cost? And I was like, honey, you know, I just feel God telling me we don't need this house. You know, let's go. You know, the thing is I look at it and she's like, when are you going to have the time? She's like, when are you going to have the time? The only time that you have available is on Saturdays, and that's the only time I have available, and that's the only family time we get. So when are you going to do this? She starts asking these questions, and I'm thinking in my mind, cut down the debt, cut off years of debt, cut down this and pay this down and all these other things. I'm thinking in the future, and I'm thinking, you know what? I could sacrifice a few months. But what if that's the last few months I have? What if something tragically happens? And here I am trying to do everything I can for my family. But what if today's the last day I have with them? Was it worth it? No. No, it was not. Can I tell you this? There's a lot in your life and in my life that we are doing right now that in the end, I believe we will stand in heaven and see all that God has done and see who God is. And we'll think to ourselves, that was not worth it. Why did I waste my life on things that did not matter so much? Why did I spend all my energy trying to impress people when I should have been spending it trying to reach people? Why did I spend all of my resource trying to feel good? 80 years compared to eternity? Man, if you want to be... Well, I want the perfect place to retire in. Can I tell you where that is? Heaven. And can I tell you when you will retire? In death. And I'm not saying go speed up your retirement process. But I am saying... stop thinking that what makes you you is what you wear and what you drive and what you have. Because if you have something to wear, God bless you, you've been blessed. If you have something to drive, God bless you, you've been blessed. If you have somewhere to live, God bless you, you've been blessed. And if you have a little left over, can I encourage you to do something? Bless somebody else. Because somebody else doesn't have something to wear. Somebody else doesn't have somewhere to live. Somewhere else doesn't have hope. Our hope should not be based on what we think we can obtain in the future. Our hope should be based on what has already been obtained for us. What God has already secured. What is heaven like? It's a place you don't want to miss. And you should make sure that everyone you know, everyone you love, everyone you care about knows that it's a place they don't want to miss either. How do I reach somebody for God? Tell them about the love of God and tell them about what the love of God has created for them. Do not condemn them or beat them down. Do not scare them into salvation. You know what? If you came in tonight and said, I'm going to take you to Disney World for free, all gas, all meals, all places going, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell Jordan, take a week off work. We're going. You know, my son loves Mickey Mouse. So do I. You know, I'm not going to lie. You know, I, now that I have a kid, I'll feel a little bit more normal. Last time I went, I was 24 years old. And I'm still posing with Mickey, popping the phone and take my picture. Now I have an excuse to pose with Mickey. You know, oh, there's Cinderella. Lincoln, isn't that exciting, you know? The thing is if you were offering me a free trip, I'd go. And if I was offering you one and you had the availability, you'd go too. And isn't that exactly what Jesus has done? Go to a place He's prepared for you. There's a free trip. But you got to go through Him to get there. So bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you a few questions.